Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, the Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final.
And the layoff might affect Tuukka Rask. It may not, but it'll also affect every player on that Bruins roster.
Dale Arnold.
Do the Bruins win that?
Yes, they win the Cup.
Rich Keith.
So the question is, how much did you wager?
I went all in.
I only wagered $99.
Oh, you son of a...
So I win with a dollar,
boys. Have some respect
for yourself, Sean.
Oh, damn!
Dale and Keith, middays.
How you doing, Mr. Gill?
Hello. Oh, hey, it's this guy.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I agree with you. I know you think this way. It's too damn long between games. It's the cross we bear here.
Good news, though, Dale. Tomorrow night, at the Garden.
At the Garden.
$20 a pop. Get in there. Free
now, you
popcorn
told me
the kid.
Earlier in the program, yes, they had already sold over 11,000 tickets.
That's what I've heard. Over 11,000.
And they opened up some more tickets that they released today.
Haven't been available for even 24 hours. And they've already sold that many. This thing is going to be banged out. It's going to be a game-like atmosphere. People are going to be all fired up for this. We need hockey. We are so thirsty for hockey right now, and we're going to get some. Just a taste tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
We're already starting to hear from some of the Frady scared Bruins fans.
People are really talking up the Blues.
They convince themselves that no matter what, I don't know.
This is their best team in hockey. That's why they're here. I'm like, well, okay.
In the exact same way, if you looked at the Carolina series,
yes,
I thought that the Bruins had a decided advantage in goal and a decided advantage in special teams. And guess what?
Yeah, it's same.
The exact same thing. In the playoffs,
yeah,
the Bruins have the number one power play in the NHL.
It's been awesome.
17 for 50, 34% success rate. The St. Louis Blues have the ninth rated power play in the NHL, a success rate of 19.4.
Right, and this is out of the 16 playoff teams.
Right.
So they're ninth. Okay.
Penalty kill. Bruins have the number four rated penalty kill, success rate of 86.3. St. Louis has the 11th ranked penalty kill, success rate of 78.0. So you've got the 11th ranked penalty kill going up against the number one
right
power play.
Yeah, how's that for recipe usually work out for you?
Goals four per game. Bruins are second in the league, 3.35. St. Louis is third at 3.00. Goals against per game, though, the Bruins are number one, 1.94. St. Louis is fifth, 2.53.
Yeah, I mean, this is all tilted towards the Bruins, for sure. And they have home ice, if you want to add that on top of it. Now, they have the longer
layoff.
They're
going to have a real live bear waving the flag at the first game.
You could see it, so keep your distance if you have a seat near the banner waver. But, yeah, this is all advantage Bruins. And I think if you look at all the series that they've played so far, one thing that jumps out is the path that they have been given here. Now, they've taken advantage of it to their point. They can't pick who their next opponent is. They just have to wait and see who it is. But the Toronto Maple Leafs are the only 100-point regular season team that they have faced in this whole playoff run.
And it took them seven games to beat them.
And two must-win games are at the end. They were down 3-2. That's another thing that is so amazing. And this happens in the NBA and in the NHL all the time. But when teams, they're down 3-2 in a series. So they're in Toronto. They have a chance to be eliminated in the first round. And now you fast forward a month or so, and they're the favorite to win the cup. Like, if they win the cup, that's what you're going to have to go back to, is how they played in Game 6 and Game 7. They played well. Tuukka was amazing in Game 7. Toronto couldn't put him away. And now that opened them up to what could be their second cup in 9 years.
My single greatest fear, might be my only fear, from the Bruins' perspective.
Spiders.
Well, not from the series.
Sorry.
Spiders,
yeah,
certainly are on,
yeah,
the list.
Yeah,
well, snakes, maybe even more.
So, snakes are much worse than spiders.
That video a couple of weeks ago,
I wouldn't
guy
watch
ringing
it.
The doorbell.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
Snake comes out and bites
no,
him in the eye.
That'd be a nightmare. I'd never be able to sleep again.
Oh,
so I didn't watch that.
So leaving that aside for a moment.
Fair.
My biggest concern, maybe my only concern for this series, is Tuukka Rask maintaining the level he was at, which was as good as it gets. But with the break, is he going to be able to maintain that level?
I think that's the number one thing for all Bruins fans is, and Bruce Cassidy talked about it right away, right after game four, about the sharpness and how that's going to be really tough. And maybe tomorrow night's a little scrimmage thing. It's not going to be super physical. And yet maybe that's even better because he's going to open things up and guys are going to be able to put a lot of shots on Tuukka. He's going to be get used to seeing the puck again. Again, you can't recreate a playoff game that way, but you got to try to do something. My one hope would be, even if Tuukka isn't as sharp as he was in the previous two series, like let's say a B-minus Tuukka Rask, wouldn't that still be a wash with a Jordan Binnington?
Probably.
You know, so like so you expect to have the goalie advantage, but even if it's a wash, I think that they can make up for it with their other guys.
And what Tuukka said in the aftermath of the Carolina series certainly holds true. It's a lot easier to play goal when the team in front of you is playing defensively the way this team is playing. And I'm not just talking about the defense. I mean, they were smothering forwards and defense in game four, the deciding game of the Carolina series. I mean, they gave the Hurricanes nothing.
Not a whole lot. I thought we defended so well that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot.
No, they really didn't present many challenges, Carolina. Outside of, I mean, if they played the whole series like they played the first period of game three, maybe the Bruins, it wouldn't have been a sweep. I mean, that was really the most impressive run that Carolina had, but they couldn't maintain it. And then that was it. St. Louis has more talent. They just do. Like, it's not a team loaded with, you know, all-stars and Hall of Famers by any means. But when you compare it to what Carolina was bringing to the table, there's more guys to worry about if you're the Bruins when you look at St. Louis. I mean, Jaden Schwartz has 12 playoff goals in 19 games. Ryan O'Reilly's a good player. Alex Pietrangelo's a really good defenseman. We had a caller earlier try to hype up Vladimir Tarasenko, who is on a run. He had a really good series against San Jose. He's a 30-goal scorer, you know, consistently every year in the league. But I don't know. He's, to me, still no Brad Marchand. So I think the Bruins have the advantage there, too. When you look at the forward lines, when you look at the defense pairs, really everywhere you go, I feel like they have the advantage.
If you're looking for storylines, you don't have the Joe Thornton returns to play against his former team storyline, which you would have had with San Jose. But you do have David Backes, the former captain of the Blues, longtime captain for the Blues, getting a chance to play against the Blues for his first opportunity to win a cup.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. And he will certainly be in the lineup, too. Whereas, you know, you look in the first round and there were times where, you know, is he going to be a healthy scratch? But he has carved out a role for himself, albeit not the biggest role. I mean, he's playing, you know, less than 10 minutes a night. But he's been a guy that has contributed, and that's going to be pretty cool for him, you know, just to go in there, especially against the team that he's facing.
So those are the things, as you look forward, the things that, and look, I understand, they're here for a reason, they're in the final for a reason, they're good, they've played great. All of those things are true. All of those things apply to the Bruins as well.
Right. Oh, yeah, they're playing great. I mean, they might be playing better. I mean, they've won 7 straight games, and we tried figuring this out during the Carolina series. Like, what is the Bruins' weakness right now? So regardless of what opponent that they were playing, Dale, what is, I don't care if it's Carolina, or you know, Carolina, now it's St. Louis, could have been San Jose. What is the Bruins' weakness?
I got nothing.
That's the thing. Like, right.
They are deep. They are good. They're good defensively.
Yeah.
They're good offensively.
Right on time.
Their special teams are good. Their goaltending is as good as it gets right now. And even if I wanted to nitpick right now, I'd have a hard time coming up with anything.
Yeah, I just I don't see it because you have all four lines that can generate scoring, right? And the defense pairs have all played well, and the goalie's been great. You know, and any kind of questions, we haven't really talked much about the coach.
I'll give you one. I thought of one.
Oh, good.
And they've kind of fixed this as the playoffs has gone on, giving up shorthanded opportunities.
Yeah, that's a good one.
When they're on the power play. Now it was really bad.
Columbus.
Oh,
it
God.
Was the worst in Columbus, and they've sort of cleaned that up. And I don't know if that's more them cleaning it up or Carolina just doesn't have the same guys that Columbus did. But Columbus definitely generated some chances that way. And yeah, I was like, almost concerning. You know, you had the man advantage, and yet all of a sudden there's just these breakaways going the other way. So they've been able to sort of clean that up. But yeah, that might be something that St. Louis can try to take advantage of.
We had a caller earlier who talked about how great St. Louis has been since January 1st. And they had to be, by the way. They were dead last. On January 1st, they had the worst record in hockey. They were 15-18-4, and they were dead last, not in their conference, not in their division, in the entire National Hockey League.
That's amazing.
Since January 1st, they went 42-17-5.
Jeez.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
It's three games better than the Bruins.
Right.
The Bruins, since January 1st, went 40-14-6.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Wait, that seems like a lot of games. I don't know. It seems like a lot of games.
That includes the playoffs as well.
Got it. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. I'm not doubting you, Shime. Shime time doing it, but I was like, that seems like a lot of games just off the top of my head.
And it does for St. Louis as
well. Yeah, okay, fine. Fair enough. So that includes the playoffs.
So
I got
42-17-5 as opposed to 40-14-6.
Right.
They
right.
both obviously got 12 playoff wins at this point.
I mean, the
St. Louis has 7 playoff losses. The Bruins have 5.
The Blues made a coaching change this year.
They did.
You know, for the first, 20 games or so, they had, was it Mike Yeo? Mike Yeo. Yeah. And then they went to Craig Berube, who you made the case, or you told the story about how security in St. Louis doesn't even know who he is.
No, it was San Jose.
Oh, was it?
And they were being jerks. Every time Berube post game, they have, and the NHL sets up a podium, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't have everybody crowding in. So every time in San Jose, Berube went to go to the post game podium, security stopped him and said, "Can I see some ID, please?"
Who are you?
And it's like, first of all, if you've seen Craig Berube's nose, you kind of know he's played in the National Hockey League.
Is that right?
Bit.
It's a little distorted.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, he was a tough guy, hard nosed player. So, all right, the first time you stop him, I sort of understand. Pretty
Come
much
on,
everybody would
that,
know who the coach of the St. Louis Blues is. According to St. Louis PR, every single time he went to go to the podium post-game in San Jose.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Excuse me, sir. Can I see some ID, please?
That's so bad. That is so
I mean,
bad.
That's kind of, that's just trying to rub his nose in it a little bit, isn't it?
Literally. Take his broken, shattered nose
and it's rub a
his
mess.
Nose in it. But so, yeah, I mean, that sort of tells you where they were at this year. I mean, they were that bad, last in the league, or even before that they had to make a coaching change. So this has been quite a story for St. Louis to get to this point.
It's been incredible what they've done.
But I just don't think that they have enough. I really don't.
And by the way, if I gave a coaching advantage, and Berube's been great. He's done a terrific job.
I'll go with Cassidy.
Bruce Cassidy has the coaching advantage as well.
Yeah.
And that obviously means head coach and the staff. You know, Cassidy and his staff have done an unbelievable job here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that Berube hasn't, since he replaced Mike Yeo. Look at the run they've gone on. He has earned the opportunity to continue there, and he will. But if I had to give a coaching advantage, I'd give it to Cassidy.
Yeah, I would too. And if you also look at the three series that they have already played and then compare those players to the Blues, I think they've already played better forwards. They've already played better defensemen. And as good as Petrangelo is, maybe he's their best player. I don't know. Seth Jones is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And
they've played Bobrovsky.
A better goalie. Right on down the line. Whereas if you're San Jose, this is the toughest opponent that you have faced top to bottom. They've obviously faced some very skilled guys on their way. Winnipeg, Dallas, and then most recently San Jose. But as far as the most balanced team that has so many different things that you have to deal with, this is their toughest challenge by far.
I'll be very curious to see how they defend the Bruins' top line.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be one of the keys for them is, can they, you're not going to stop Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak. Can you slow them down? In the playoffs, the Bruins, and again, this is that website, Daily Faceoff, which ranks all the players, ranks the lines. The Bruins have the number one line in hockey, according to their rankings. They rate 84.68. And just to put it in perspective, Brad Marchand, they say, is the number one left wing in the playoffs. They say Bergeron is the number five center in the playoffs. They say Pasternak is the fourth right wing in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and those guys. But what's also been proven out is you can shut them down and the Bruins can win. That maybe the biggest difference between this season's team and last season's team is Krejci's line might score, or the fourth line might score, or Coyle and Johansson on that third line have been so good throughout the entire postseason that even if you do stop that line, it was like Rod Brindamore was saying, first three games, they weren't really doing much. And he was like, I kind of wish they were the guys beating us. It's everybody else. And then game four rolls around, and those guys were locked in, whether it was 5-on-5 or the power play.
According to those ratings, that third line for the Bruins is the number two third line in hockey.
Oh, okay. Who's number one? Do you have that list?
I don't know. They just...
Yeah, but those guys have been great. And they sort of... They didn't always have Danton Heinen on that line either, but it has, you know, been Coyle, Johansson pretty consistently. And now, I mean, that line is, you feel almost just as confident in those guys. You know, Coyle's the, so Marchand and Pastrnak each have 7 goals in the postseason. Bergeron has 8. Of course, 6 of them have come on the power play. And then Coyle is 4th on the team in goals with 6.
And if you want to talk about the strength of the Bruins defensively, and there are a number of things you can look at to try to come to that determination, but consider this. The Bruins have 5 of the top 6 plus-minus players in the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who dents it is John Klingberg from Dallas, who was actually tied with Patrice Bergeron. But, yeah, but the Bruins have
he's been
5
out for a couple rounds.
Yeah. The Bruins have 5 of the top 6. They have 6 of the top 9. Plus minus players in the playoffs.
Well, it's funny because everybody talks about Ryan O'Reilly for St. Louis. Now he's one of those guys that's sort of like the complete game, right? Like he can score a little bit. He's got 14 points, 19 games, only 3 goals though, 11 assists. But he's a -3, and so for a team that made it all the way to the Cup, so now you're getting more of a sample size. So through 19 games, as good of a player as he is, he's been a minus player. Vladimir Tarasenko has been a -5, you know, and he has 8 goals, but 5 of them have come on the power play.
I know that it's sometimes hard for fans to understand when they've got something really good. Patriots fans understand it because it's been so long. They've had so many years of it. You know, it's been kind of beaten into them. Fans of the other teams, generally speaking, try to think of what's the worst-case scenario. This Bruins team's the best team left in the playoffs. And
they have been for a month.
And they've been for a month now. Yeah. And no disrespect meant to Columbus or Carolina or now St. Louis, none of those teams have what the Bruins have in terms of personnel, their success offensively, defensively, special teams, goaltending. They've got every check mark. Every box is checked in favor of the Bruins going into the series.
And then if you look at the last two teams they played in the Cup final previous to this, the Vancouver Canucks had, I believe it was 117 points. Weren't they the best team in the regular season?
Yes.
Like that was an absolute... wagon. And with the Sedins and with Luongo, their stats were so good. 117 points. A little bit tougher to figure out. So in 13, they played Chicago. But remember, they had the lockout there. So they had 77 points, but they did it in, 48 games. So that was completely different. But they were ridiculous. And that was a team that, you know, had won the Cup before. That was right in the middle of they'd won 3 Cups. So those challenges, much more daunting. So like if we were taking those calls in 13 or in 11, you're saying, how are they going to stop Kane? How are they going to stop Taves? I get it. In fact, we're probably saying the same thing then. Whereas if you're calling in now to say, I don't know, guys, like Ryan O'Reilly, just not the same. Just not the same. And it's one thing, if you're the team, you have to respect your opponent and you can't take them lightly. But as a fan of the team, you can just call it like you see it. You can say St. Louis is not the toughest challenge in the world.
Jordan Binnington has been a revelation for the St. Louis Blues. He's the single biggest reason why they're sitting here right now because of the way he's played both in the regular season and in the playoffs. He only played in 32 games in the regular season, started 30 of them.
He's fresh.
Well, that too. But he's 24-5. He's got a 1.89 goals against average. This is the regular season. And a .927 save percentage. He's really good.
Yeah, that was a really good run.
In the playoffs, he's not as good as Tuukka Rask has been.
No, nobody has.
Nobody
has. Pick a position, pick up whatever you want. A guy in a hot streak, or whatever. Nobody has been as good as Tuukka. Yeah, Binnington, obviously not as much of a book on him. He played one game 3 years ago, and then this has been it. This has been his whole career, really, is this season, and then this playoff run. So we haven't seen him as much as those other guys. He is a tougher goalie to beat than Mrazek or McElhinney is, but he's certainly not better than Sergei Bobrovsky. I don't know. He's playing better than Frederik Andersen, although I don't know how much better he is than him.
And in answer to the question I got on Twitter, a Twitter question says, where's Wiggy Wednesday?
Great question.
Is Dale Arnold really scared of Jermaine Wiggins?
Oh, boy.
Wasn't my call to not have him here.
No, he lost the bet. That's what the deal was. He can't come in.
I was as surprised as you were to see him appear on the show this morning.
I thought he was on our show. Yes, he has stuff to do today.
We thought Wiggy Wednesday meant Wiggy Wednesday, but apparently didn't.
Not this week.
Not today, anyway.
No.
I'm told he'll be in tomorrow.
So Wiggy Thursday?
There's no alliteration. It doesn't have the same zip to it.
Wiggy Wednesday on a Thursday.
Okay, there it is. That makes sense.
It doesn't.
No, not at all.
Los Angeles Angels of Anna.
So he'll be on 11-1 with us tomorrow?
Yes. He'll be on 11-1. The show ends at 11:30.
Okay. Perfect. So
half hour with Wiggy.
So in answer to your question, wasn't my call to not have him here. We thought he was going to be on with us
today. Thought he was.
And we're happy to have him, I guess, tomorrow, which is when he'll next be on. Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Sean's out in Idaho. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Hello, how you guys? Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call there, gentlemen. Great show as always. So I was going to say this. My prediction is Bruins in five games. I just think that the rest is not going to be a problem for them at all. They'll be loose. They'll be ready. Chara need to rest. What's your guys' prediction for the Stanley Cup Finals? Who wins that series? Your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the exact. Let's put it this way. Going into the playoffs, when Rich asked me, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? I said the Bruins were going to win the Cup. I haven't changed my opinion.
I still need to go over all the stats and watch a little bit more tape on St. Louis.
Got some video breakdown still to go.
I'm not going
to
take them lightly, Dale, but I'm leaning Bruins in three. I'm leaning that way. Okay. We'll see how it goes.
It's a bold pick on your part.
We'll see what happens. I don't know what the odds are on that.
Not everybody would go as boldly into that as you have.
That's what I'm thinking right now, but that could change. So Friday, at some point Friday, we will
we'll
dish out the predictions.
Yeah, probably not a shocking upset that they win the cup. I said that before the playoffs started.
That was right, before it all started.
So I'm not changing it now.
It was April 11th.
Thank you very much.
So, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to continue to say that the Bruins win the cup, and hopefully
as you should.
We don't mess this thing up.
I know. And then three of the four Boston teams will have won.
In the same calendar year.
They're missing one of the teams.
Revolution.
Teams. The Revs didn't win. They got a new fresh coach, though.
Bruce Arena comes on board. That. Things could change down there.
Former men's national coach.
Thank you, Shime.
Thank you, Shime. Thank you, Shime.
Wow.
Big soccer guy here. Sorry.
How did the Boston Uprising do this year? I think they got bounced in the Overwatch.
Bounced in the second round of the playoffs.
Second round of the playoffs. So like the Celtics.
How many rounds of the playoffs is there in the esports
14.
World?
It's long.
It goes on forever. It's basically a year-long thing. Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your calls in a few minutes. We're going to play Jeopardy in a few minutes as well. We're going to put Shime's defending championship on the line.
Oh, we're gunning for you, Shime.
But first, we have to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No need to check the time as it's.
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
All right, it's time. We didn't make enough fools of ourselves earlier. It's noon 30. It's time for the second Dale and Keith Jeopardy Championship, including Chris Shime.
Who's the defending champ?
I am the reigning champ.
He is the reigning champ.
Let me just give you one quick NFL note as we go to play Jeopardy.
Yes.
Roger Goodell held a press conference today at the league meetings in Florida talking about Robert Kraft. He says he won't speculate on discipline. He says the league has to gather its own facts on the situation, but there will be no resolution until his legal matter is concluded.
Hmm.
He basically said the same sort of thing about Tyreek Hill. He said, you know, what we have to be worried about here is the child. But we will not do anything until the legal matter is resolved.
All right.
So.
There you go.
All right. Time to play.
Let's do this.
This is Jeopardy.
It's Dale and Keith Jeopardy this time. And let's introduce our contestants. We have.
Let's guess. Dale.
Well, I was going to go from your radio right to left. You have Rich Keefe.
Thank you.
We have Dale Arnold.
I'm giving a stupid dopey wave, yeah. which is what one of them will inevitably yeah. do.
And then we have returning champ, returning with his huge $1 winnings,
That's right.
Chris Schein.
Big time winnings.
Yeah, huge. Does that roll over?
It sure does.
All right, so here are the categories.
Yes.
This will be, well, we'll just go through it. The categories are former Bruins still in the league.
Okay.
You have Boston landmarks.
Oh, boy.
Movies filmed in Mass, Massachusetts. And St. Louis flops. Our returning champ is Chris Schein. Chris Schein, you have control of the board.
Give me former Bruin still in the NHL for 100, please, Jason.
Sure. We have this former Bruin was the number two overall pick in the 2010 draft. I don't have to finish the question before you guys can answer. You have to finish the question, then you buzz in.
You didn't state the rules ahead of time.
You've played this before. And won the 2011 Stanley Cup with the Bruins and was knocked out of the playoffs earlier this year by the St. Louis Blues in the second round. We'll go Rich Keefe.
Who is Tyler Seguin?
Just kidding.
What?
Correct.
I was like, wait a minute.
$100 to Keefe. Keefe, right, you now have control of the board.
I will take former Bruins still in the NHL for 200, please, Jason.
This former fourth line Bruin from 2007 to 2010 was traded to the St. Louis Blues in exchange for Marshfield's own David Warsofsky.
Who's Gregory Campbell?
Taylor Keefe.
Nice try.
I should have the David Warsofsky trade
memorized.
Tattooed on my arm, but I don't.
Not a guess? Nobody?
No, I guess not.
Nobody answered it. That is Vladimir Sobotka.
Vladimir Sobotka.
Well, you can name it Sobotka.
I got half point for that?
You do not.
Name
you didn't
right?
ring in.
So, all right, good one.
Sure. Right.
I'm still in control of the board. Let's close out the category. Former Bruins in the NHL for 300.
All right. This Bruin was traded to the New York Islanders before the 2014 season in exchange. You got to wait till I'm done with the question or the answer. In exchange for 2 second-round draft picks in the 2015 draft, later used to select Brandon Carlo. Dale Arnold.
Johnny Boychuk.
Ooh, I think it's Johnny. Who is Johnny Boychuk?
I'm not going to. All right, Dale, you now have control of the board. I believe, let's get a quick score. Mackenzie, what do we have for a score after the one?
Dale's in first place with 300. Mm. Keith is in second with 100 points.
What place is Shime in?
And Shime's in third with negative 200.
That's early. Don't worry about it.
Hold the board up. Okay.
Yeah, what do you got, Dale?
Let's try movies in Mass for 100, please.
Martha's Vineyard was turned into Amity Island in the Steven Spielberg blockbuster in 1975. Keefe.
Oh, he did not beat me to that
one. Yes, all right, easy. What is Jaws?
That is
yes,
correct.
Thank you very
so
much.
I'm not even allowed to raise my hand before he finishes the question?
You got to wait until he's done. Can. That's what I got screwed there on the Boychuk one. So what is Jaws? All right, let's go
by
with,
the way, that is not the way Jeopardy is played. You can buzz in anytime playing real Jeopardy.
Yeah, that Jason. Is incorrect.
Alex Trebek.
No, it's once the question is done being answered, that's the first
because
person.
Because it locks them out. That's what
the
thing
might
does.
Not work.
It does. Let's go with movies filmed in Massachusetts for 200, Jason.
This 1993 Halloween-themed Disney family film was shot in Salem. Chris Schein.
What is Hocus Pocus?
That would be... correct.
Nice. Nicely done. Don't
all right.
wink at me.
Out
that's,
the
not,
red.
That's not out a competitive the spirit.
Did you wink?
He winked at me.
Yeah,
wow.
You're darn right.
All right.
I'm going to go Boston landmarks for 200, Jason.
Oh, he's hunting.
That's
he's hunting Daily Devils. He's hunting them.
The tallest building in Boston and New England since 1976, standing at 60 stories and 790 feet. That would be Rich Keefe.
What is the Prudential Building?
You know what, Jason? I shouldn't even try to play, should
it's
I?
It's incorrect. It's incorrect. Does anybody else want to buzz in?
Yes, I already did, but you...
Dale. Whiny Dale. What would you like?
What is the Prudential Center?
If you were listening, it's also incorrect.
No, I couldn't hear. I was yelling at you.
I was
busy
better.
Yelling.
That couldn't have been any better.
Sean, you want to guess?
I'm just going to pass.
Yes, I'm passing that one.
That would
you say the Prudential Center.
That would be the John Hancock Tower.
I knew it.
I knew it. 400 feet taller. Ooh,
thank you.
Okay, so I keep control, correct?
You sure do, Sean.
Let's go back to Movies in Mass for 300.
Movies in Mass for 300. Filming on this 2007 thriller took place, in the site of South Boston in former Quincy Quarries. A film from 2007. It was a thriller. It took place on site.
What is Gone Baby Gone?
Could you have screwed up the reading of that question?
Lord! How do we know you're done?
Surrounded it?
You keep going and going.
Holy Getting hot.
Cow.
Don't let me get hot.
I'm doing a good job. All right, Mackenzie, can we get a quick score update?
Now in first place with 300 points.
Oof.
Dale is in second place with 100 points. And Keith is in third place with 0 points.
Oh, no.
You can still play Final Jeopardy.
Well, Jason's doing everything he can do to rig it for you.
I know. Well, not really.
All right. So,
all right, chime.
I'm going to go with Boston Landmarks for 300, please.
300. These small statues are a tribute to a children's picture book written and illustrated by Robin McClorsky and first published in 1941 and now is just two. It's a story about two, I would say this wrong, who decided to raise their family on an island lagoon in the Boston Public Gardens. Dale.
What is Make Way for Ducklings?
He made through my awful
reading.
I had no idea.
How could you possibly figure out what he said?
This is a real
big one for Dale.
Back to read the questions.
Dale is up on. You can pick the category.
Let's do Boston Landmarks for 100, please.
Boston Landmarks for 100. The British are coming! Yelled this patriot whose statue is located on the Freedom Trail. Rich Keefe.
Who is Paul Revere?
That's correct, Keefe.
That's good.
Now you have control.
Finally, I got some money here. All right, let's go with St. Louis Flops for 100.
None of us really know what this category
means,
do we?
No idea.
This NBA franchise, who originally drafted and traded Bill Russell to the Boston Celtics, played in St. Louis from 1955 to 1968. Dale Arnold.
What is the St. Louis Hawks?
So you can raise your hand now before the thing begins? Is that
Well, you've been doing it.
I haven't, but he doesn't need to call on you.
He got it wrong technically.
Okay, good. Guess on my end, Shime?
No idea.
Dale, it's the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this current NBA franchise. So it was at the time.
Oh, I see.
A little trickeration with the questions.
Parsing of words. I'll take it.
All right, let's go St. Louis Flops for 200, please, Jason.
Oh, my God.
It's the Daily Double.
So how much money do I have? Only 100?
Yes,
100. Oh, boy.
Yeah, boy.
How much does Shime have? What's the leaderboard right now?
Let's Mackenzie, what's the leaderboard?
So Shime and Dale are tied with 300 points, and then you're in second place with 100 points.
You can risk up to 300.
I can?
Yes, you can.
It's have 300.
No, it doesn't. It's a maximum amount on the board. Like, you play for each round. That's if you guys watch the show.
Let's do it. 300.
300.
Let's go.
When the NHL expanded in 1967, the St. Louis Blues made three consecutive Stanley Cup finals, all three times being swept. The final time was to the Boston Bruins. What organization swept them the first two times?
Too much time.
Do we have a guess?
Yeah.
He's stalling.
Who might have been? Who was the Philadelphia Flyers?
That is incorrect. It was Dale. Do you know this one?
I would guess the Montreal Canadiens.
You would have been correct. Dale would have had it.
Yeah, I understand how that works.
Just so Dale knows. All right. So there's only one.
Hey, Keith, you're in the negatives right now, bud.
Sham, I know how the game is played. All right.
So you're gonna need this one.
I get it.
And this is the final.
Can you guys explain the rules of Jeopardy to me, please?
Let me read a little bit better this time. All right.
That's my biggest problem right now.
I agree.
We're going to get read playing Alex Trebek.
We might have to make Nick read the final Jeopardy question.
This St. Louis football stadium hosted the greatest show on turf in 1999 and now hosts such events as the Military Telephone Expert. Exhibit. And it will host new XFL franchise in 2020. Dale?
What is the TWA Dome?
It's not what it's called.
Oh, now?
Well, this is...
Not when they hosted the St. Louis Rams, they were.
Has been the name since 1995. So it's incorrect. Shime, you want anybody?
No, I'm not even going to take a shot.
Keith, you need to at least try, because if not,
what's the name of the St. Louis football stadium? I don't know.
Dome at America's Center.
Yeah, nope. No idea.
That was a dud.
All right, so what is the score going into Final Jeopardy?
She's crunching the numbers.
Yeah,
here.
She's got it.
We have Shime in first with 300.
The Shime's good at this Jeopardy thing.
Dale in second with 0. And Keith in last with -500.
So Dale can wager what? Up to 100 or 300 in Final Jeopardy?
300.
He can go up to 300.
Okay.
All right. So we still got a game.
So do I just tell you the category right now? I'll give you a few seconds to go, and maybe me and Keith
can
ramp.
What's the category? I'll tell a quick Shime story.
All right. The category is Tom Brady's rings.
Oh.
Ooh, Tom Brady's rings. Okay. And they have to write down in front of them what their wager is.
The stadium previously known as the Trans World Dome from 1995 to 2001.
Whoops.
I think the whole
thing
is...
It was the TWA Dome.
Well, that's not what Google told me earlier.
The whole thing
I'm sticking with my guns on that
one. Oh, boy. All right, Jason, let's go.
So do you want me to tell you the story
now? Yeah, tell us a quick story. We have 1 minute.
Or do you want to give them the question, then they can write down their answer, and I can tell the story while they have their time to do that. Should we do that?
Sure. All right. So here is the clue. Tom Brady received this number Super Bowl ring out of his six in the same year Usher's Yeah topped the charts... Michael Phelps was in his second Olympics, and Smarty Jones won the Kentucky Derby.
All right, so the story goes like this. You were telling us what the categories were for Jeopardy, and Shime says to me off the air, man, I really wish capitals was one of the categories. I go, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah, I know every capital. I know every state capital. I know every country capital. I go, oh, yeah, what's South Carolina's? He goes, rally? I asked him one. He goes, I know every capital. I asked him one state, and he got it wrong.
I was looking
and
for more South America.
We were just talking
Central
about
American
rally
countries.
All last week with North Carolina.
It's Raleigh, for Christ's sake. It's
I don't
Raleigh,
care what it is. I know that it's not in South Carolina. I know that much.
It's Columbia.
And I'm not telling everybody. You looked it up.
Now, Dale's extremely angry and a really good competitor. I like this about Dale's competitive.
You
I don't want to hear
me out of two answers.
I didn't.
Fine.
We went to the board.
Fine. It's fine.
Intern Nudnik said you were wrong. So.
No, Nick didn't. He's standing there shaking his head. No,
he doesn't know
you.
What's going on.
All right, you moron.
Dale, how much did you weigh? Oh, no. Well,
first, we'll go with Dale. What is your wager?
I have no idea what we're even doing
how
anymore.
How much money you even have? What's your answer?
Oh, well, first of all, do you want me to repeat the question one last
time?
Sure,
yeah. Fine. Why not?
Tom Brady received this number Super Bowl ring out of six in the same year Usher's Yeah topped the charts. Michael Phelps was in his second Olympics, and Smarty Jones won the Kentucky Derby. So, Dale, how much are you wagering?
100. And I don't even know what I have.
Great job. And what is your answer?
Third.
That would be correct.
Ah, oh, shucks.
And so,
luckily for me, I only wagered $6. I guess second ring.
And what did you guess? Second ring? That would be incorrect. So
that's another win for Shime, by the way.
So, Shime wins again. What is your total amount there?
$294.
And Dale, what was that, 200?
I have no idea.
I can tell
100
you
total. He started at zero.
Oh, poor guy. All right, so Shime with the two-time winnings, as long as
two-time.
Jeopardy James comes
back
along.
Back.
And I'm pretty sure Shime's going to retire as the two-time champion because the segment has also been retired.
No, it's coming back.
Oh, no, we've retired it.
Pretty sure it's retired.
Yeah. But a hell of a job, Shime.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Congratulations, Shime.
I'm going to hold on to this one forever. I have a championship belt at home. Just pretend like you guys gave it to me.
What's the capital of Nevada?
Carson City. I knew that one.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to legitimate stuff in just a minute. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Bruce Cassidy is meeting with the media over at Warrior Arena after the Bruins practice today. He did say, by the way, that you should beware tomorrow night if Vegas puts out a line on the scrimmage or Twin Rivers puts out a line on the scrimmage because they could be switching sweaters on players halfway through.
Oh, I don't like
so
that.
So they could be messing with
switching
stuff.
Switching sweaters?
They could be...
Come on. Because you got
to... Okay. Pasternak, now you're going to the black team, okay? We just traded you.
I don't like that one bit. I don't like it at all. Now, there's going to be a couple of refs out there, so they're going to try to really duplicate some real action there. Maybe we'll get some power plays. Maybe we'll get some things like that. But I think I need to take a look at the rosters before I weigh in on who's going to win this.
Which, and apparently, they will mess with the rosters at their whim.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He also, when he showed up at the press gathering there and saw the crowd, he said, what, are the Red Sox off today?
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, hold on a second.
Wait a minute. What are all these people here?
Uh-huh.
We gave you the information that we had concerning Roger Goodell's press conference. Shouldn't be a surprise in either case. They're not going to do anything until the Robert Kraft legal situation is resolved, and that keeps getting delayed. And apparently they're not going to do anything until the Tyreek Hill legal situation is resolved. In fact, Goodell went so far as to say they won't even speak to Tyreek Hill until after the legal case is resolved.
Yeah, and you really never know with the NFL, right? Like what they're going to do. I mean, this is what they're saying now, but I'm just saying based on previous examples, you don't really know what they're going to do, when they're going to weigh down on it, whether it's commissioner's exempt list or whatever else it's going to be. So Rappaport said basically the same thing. So he won't speculate on discipline as it relates to Robert Kraft. And he adds the league will be gathering its own facts on the situation. What are they, a CSI?
Aren't facts Jupiter, facts? Florida? They're not yours. They're not mine. They are facts.
Yeah. Like, what more is there to do? Like, aren't they kind of waiting on what happens with the case? But I just think it's one of those things where they kind of know what happened.
Yeah.
So do we. It's just a matter of fact, like, can you be found guilty on it or not? And that's why Kraft has these lawyers. And they're going to find a loophole. It already seems like they've really chipped away at the prosecutor's case, and they're probably going to win this thing. But if you're the NFL, do you look at it and say, "Hey, a win is a win. He wasn't found guilty," or do you say, "We kind of know what happened here. They're trying to suppress a tape of what? He already apologized. What's he apologizing for?
For what?"
So there's a lot already there where
his own lawyer said that the tape was pornography.
I think if it was a. I think he could still get penalized under the personal conduct policy. That's what I think is going to happen. But I guess what they don't want to have happen, Dale, is they punish him right now, and then something happens where they weren't really prepared for. Maybe he loses or something happens. Maybe this thing goes to trial or whatever. I guess you don't want to have to then go back and redo your punishment. Sort of like what they did with Ray Rice. Remember, hey, Ray Rice, 2 games. Oh, my God, there's a video? Whoa, boy. Commissioner's exempt list, now you're out of the league. Like, they were not ready for that. So maybe they're just waiting this thing out a little bit longer. Because, oh, by the way, if the tape does get released, I would guess that the punishment might be a little bit worse.
And, oh, by the way, what difference does it make? We're not talking about a player. We're not talking about a coach.
No.
You know, wait a minute. Julian Edelman's not going to play the first 4 games is a little different than, wait a minute, Robert Kraft can't sit in the box the first 4 games?
It really is stupid to penalize a owner, but they've done it before. It's happened, and I wonder how other owners view it. They say, hey, Robert, you're making all of us look bad. Do they not care? Do they have the same kind of, like, hey, whatever, people, if that happens, or like, hey, don't look at what I'm doing, or do they say, all right, the Patriots, because of who it is, because of what team he owns, I think they're going to look for something. And let's face it, there's a lot of people that are really upset with what he did.
Yes.
Talking about fans and just even certain media members, whatever it might be, are upset. So I don't think they can do nothing, because then I think now all of a sudden Roger Goodell has to deal with that.
I mean, this is going to sound weird when I put it this way, but didn't Robert Kraft more or less say that he should be punished for something when he apologized?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, if you were totally innocent, didn't do anything,
yeah,
then what are you apologizing for?
I mean, I don't want to apologize for stuff that I didn't
even
do.
Even the
stuff, I'm certainly not going to apologize for anything I didn't
do.
No way. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, I think something will happen, and it'll probably be a fine, and then one of those, we strongly recommend that you donate more money to this cause or these causes. I think that's probably what you're going to see. And then I still think he does end up getting hit with a few games. I don't know how many it's going to be. There's not a ton of examples. I mean, it's Jim Irsay, really. So I think he probably won't be there when they raise the banner.
617-779. You know what? I think he will be there when they raise the banner.
In disguise, like Bobby Valentine?
I don't think he's going to be suspended.
I think he does.
I think he's going to be fined.
For sure, 100%.
Which doesn't really mean anything, but I'm just saying, I think he's going to be there. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.